40KYNS, San Luis Obispo's Progressive Talk.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. On the eve of the South Carolina primary,
the polls suggest a tight contest between this man.
Elect us, and your kids will be able to move out because they'll have work.
And this man.
This president is the biggest impediment to job growth in this country, and we have to replace Barack Obama to get America working again.
Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney are going after each other. Both are going after President Obama. Rick Santorum and Ron Paul are looking for showings that'll give them the momentum to remain serious contenders. Some polls suggest Gingrich is picking up support, but he canceled a scheduled appearance this morning because only about 24 people showed up. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
26 homes destroyed. Most of the 10,000 people evacuated from the path of that fast-moving fire, though, back in their homes in Reno. Washoe County Sheriff Mike Haley.
Animal control officers are in the affected area, and they are conducting grid searches of that area, assessing the needs of any livestock that is currently roaming the area.
Cause of the fire, not known.
From Oakley, Levine,
disarm the police.
That's outside the Supreme Court today. Occupy demonstrators protesting a landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision that removes most limits on corporate and labor spending in federal elections. Occupy demonstrations outside courthouses in more than 100 cities across the country today. Obama administration giving church-affiliated institutions one more year, an extra year, to cover free birth control for employees. Here's CBS's Pam Coulter.
The health reform law requires birth control to be covered free of charge under preventive services, but churches and other houses of worship were exempted. Other religious-affiliated institutions, such as hospitals and universities, that have not provided birth control coverage also wanted an exemption. Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius's decision to give them only a one-year extension means they must comply with the rule by August 2013.
Controversial anti-piracy law will not be, for now, Senate and House shutting down efforts to pass it. CBS News and CNET technology experts Larry Magid.
I don't think there's any question that the day of protest that included Wikipedia going dark for a day and Google blacking out its logo had an impact. A lot of people responded by signing online petitions, and a lot of senators started having second thoughts as to whether they should support this bill.
Ah, Barbie.
Barbie, I can be anything I want to be.
Buying a Barbie doll, harder to do in Iran. Police closing down dozens of toy shops for selling Barbie dolls there, part of a decades-long crackdown against manifestations of Western culture. Despite the introduction there of Iranian dolls, twins, Dara and Sarah, designed to promote traditional values, modest clothing, nothing stems the Barbie tide for revealing swimsuits and miniskirts. No one sang the blues like Etta James. After a long battle with leukemia, diva Etta James dead in Riverside, California today. On the Hollywood Walk of Fame, flowers are being placed on the Etta James star. She was 73. The Dow right now up 66. This is CBS News.
GEICO makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? GEICO finds every possible way to save you even more money. Good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our looking fine discount. A discount for the attractive folk like yourselves. Okay, there's not really a looking fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Chapstick asks, do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry?
Hi, this is Angie. And no, cherry always tastes better. I mean, have you ever heard of Green Apples Jubilee? There are certainly no maraschino green apples. And if George Washington cut down the green apple tree, they just say, hey, nice job, George. And then they go back to eating cherries and kissing each other.
Do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry? Why not kiss with both and decide for yourself? Have your say at Facebook.com/Chapstick.
Respond to an ad, lose your life.
52-year-old Richard Beasley is charged with three counts of aggravated murder in connection with the Ohio Craigslist killings. The indictment says Beasley was the gunman that killed three victims, lured to a Noble County, Ohio farm with a phony Craigslist job ad. 16-year-old Brogan Rafferty has already been charged as an accomplice. Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine made the announcement.
I'm shocked and I'm sickened by how technology and the Internet were used in this case to draw in vulnerable people.
Richard Beasley could get the death penalty if convicted. Greg Saber for CBS News, Akron, Ohio.
Researchers studying a potentially deadlier airborne version of the H5N1 influenza virus, bird flu, voluntarily suspending their research for 60 days. The panel bowing to public concerns, conceding widespread fear that the mutant viruses could escape from the laboratories and be used to create bioterrorism. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Do you want to lose all your money? Well, I've got some bad news for you. The stock market is a rigged game, and it's rigged against you. What Wall Street doesn't want you to know is that there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth. The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Sure, we know it's a big day Sunday, but it's a big day here, too, because Karen Vealey's in here, and she's going to talk about CalCoastNews.com.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends. By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great week end.
Hello.
Most smokehouse barbecues have been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has an enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed, which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
Restrictions, of course, apply because everything has restrictions. You know that. All right, we have our highlight in history corner of the trip today. Our highlight in history on January 20th in 1937, President Franklin D. Roosevelt became the first chief executive to be inaugurated on January 20th instead of March 4th, a tradition which continues to this day. On this date, 1942, Nazi officials held the notorious Wannsee Conference, during which they arrived at their final solution that called for exterminating Jews. 1981, Iran released 52 Americans it had held hostage for 444 days, minutes after the presidency had passed from Jimmy Carter to Ronald Reagan. And there's more of that story. Birthdays today. Former astronaut Buzz Aldrin's 82, and movie editor David Lynch is 66. And I'm sure it's your birthday you wanted me to mention. That's why I'm mentioning it to you. Happy birthday to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking with a tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
It is Friday. It's about 12 minutes after the hour of 12, and we have Karen Veeley from TalkWestNews.com in, and we welcome you, Karen. Always nice to see you.
Hi, Bill.
Let me give you phone numbers first. Let me give out phone numbers. I'll do these slow so you can write them down, because it's high time that somebody called in here and raised heck. 786-2578, 786-2578, or we have a toll-freer, 1-866-937-1340. 1-866-937-1340, which we know works because my brother called me from Pennsylvania last week. So we know that. And then one more, 786-2578. Karen's with you today. We got lots of things to talk about. Lots of things went on this week, and I'm going to start off. I'm going to start off this way with this story. And I have to tell you, so I don't know Adam Hill from Adam. I don't know the man. Never met the man. Don't know anything. All I know about Adam Hill is what I've read and heard all over, you know, partly CalQuestNews.com, but yeah, through other people and things and what. So here's what I need to ask. Is there any chance that Mr. Hill has a defective circuit board of some kind operating up there?
And, you know, that was the biggest question asked yesterday. He sent press releases to a lot of the media yesterday afternoon. I think he sent it to KPRL and KVEC and several other people. People that had talked about him on their shows already. And in the press release, the first sentence, he leaves out words like a and the. It makes absolutely not a bit of sense. And he was an English professor. I've had several people say, do you think there's something chemically wrong? Do you think maybe, you know, he's in a blackout? Do you think this? Do you think that? I have no idea. But for an English professor to put sentences together that are completely grammatically incorrect and some that make no sense is not normal.
I am the more insightful person I ever knew, because I just expected a chuckle out of you when I said that. But actually, now we have an issue of whether or not the guy's completely on the rails here.
Well, there are several people saying that have seen the press releases and some of the emails that he sent out lately and said, wait a minute. You know, I should have brought one of them in with me, but it is absolutely just a string of words that don't make sense together.
All right, so let's talk about what happened with Adam Hill. We had this situation where a letter writer to the Tribune got a phone call supposedly from Ed Waggy, basically saying, you're commie, you're crazy, what are you, and that kind of thing. And so this is Ed Waggy. I just thought I'd let you know how I feel. And then Ed Waggy's friend said, and Ed Waggy, it wasn't me, and Ed Waggy's friend said, it didn't sound like Ed Waggy. And so then Adam Hill comes out finally and says, well, yeah, I was impersonating
him. And here's It is a little bit more to it. The person had written a letter about the Pismo Beach project. What is it called? Vista Del.
Yeah, Vista Del Mar.
And she put her name in the Tribune and put her phone number. And can we play that? Do you want to play it on the site and put the mic up to it?
Well, let me see what happens, because I tried this yesterday or 2 days ago or whatever day it came up, and it didn't come. It didn't work right. So let me try. Let's try.
You just push a little arrow.
I see. Okay. Let's try.
Cute. Sorry.
Okay. Push arrow, Bill.
Well, no.
There
we
go. Wait. There
we go. Hi. I read your letter in the Tribune. Are you a communist?
Oh, I think it's
that. Or a socialist? Or both? Or maybe a Marxist?
But it's...
This is Ed Wong. Just wanted to let you know what I thought.
Oh, so play fine. Okay, so there was the recording. So that's the thing left on the lady's answer machine.
And the interesting thing was she knew Ed Wong. So she immediately called Ed Wong and said, hey, this doesn't sound like you. I think somebody is, you know, calling people using your name. So Ed Wong went over. And Ed Wong made a copy of it on his phone. He goes, that's Adam Hill. Well, Mrs. Blake didn't want it to be Adam Hill. Because Adam Hill is supporting her fighting development in the area out there.
Right.
What's it called? Price Canyon.
Yeah. Price Canyon.
And so she said, I don't want to be part of this. And so I put out a story, just said it had happened. I did not say it was Adam Hill, though it sounded a lot like Adam Hill. And I'd say 90% of the posters immediately said, that's Adam Hill. He has a distinctive voice, and he's been known to call names before. So then... I had asked Adam Hill before I put up my first story, which you can see on Cal Coast News, if he had done this. And instead of responding back with a yes or a no, I didn't say, have you done this? I said, there is a message left, and some people say it sounds like you. Can you comment? And he basically called me a number of names, and without threatening a lawsuit, he used words that you use in libel law. And so I didn't put his comment on there because it was so aggressive. I thought it's going to make it look like I think he did it. So I just put it out pretty simple what had happened. Well, then Adam Hill, night before last at 6 o'clock, according to Mrs. Blake, called her and said, you know, I did that. It was just a joke. So she shoots me an email last night or night before last and said, it was just a joke. It is Adam on the tape. And it was no big deal. He just meant it as a joke. So then I started emailing back and forth with Adam, who was pretty angry about the whole thing and said, we've told you what this is. Don't you understand? It's a joke. And why is the media after me type of responses? Very, very angry. He sent about eight over, and I asked him, I said, well, why didn't you say you did it when I called you on Monday or we emailed on Monday? And he said he didn't know on Monday, and he didn't remember, you know, he didn't recognize it on Monday, but now he remembers that's the one he did. Well, it's a pretty distinctive tape. It's a pretty distinctive wording. And I sent him the transcripts. I sent him what had happened. I put all the information out there. But at that point, he didn't remember. He said, you know, but now he does remember. So the other interesting thing is, it appears to be I've talked to a couple of attorneys that sent me case law over, and there is a penal code that makes it a crime as a public official to impersonate another public official. And then there was a case in 2000 that was published, and it interprets that case. It interprets that law, and it says it doesn't matter if it had no effect. If doing what they did could have had an effect at all, that person has committed a felony, and I think it's a year in jail and $10,000 fine, and it's more if you're a sitting public official.
There's my reaction to this was that it must be unlawful because, in essence, you've invaded the privacy of someone's letter that they wrote to, and then you had to track them down to find out where they lived and what their phone number was. And so my immediate reaction to it was, well, that has to be kind of weird.
Well, that's not to – she actually put her phone number in her letter to the editor, and she didn't mind getting – what's wrong with this?
And she put her phone number in the body of her letter to the editor?
Yes.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Okay, what is wrong with this? And this is what this usually ends up being called. When someone – when Adam Hill called a liberal woman claiming that he was his conservative opponent, and this person is a big part of the Save Price Canyon, people are at her house going to meetings, she knows a lot of political people, he calls her claiming to be Ed Waugi, was he trying to drive a wedge between people that support this issue and Ed Waugi, his opponent, and give him more of a chance at a win? And could that phone call have also gotten her to write another letter to the editor, because she's a regular letter, you know, she's a letter writer.
Right.
So there's a couple things, but that's why this is illegal in a political candidate, you know, in a political, when you're running for office, is because it can affect the race.
Yeah, let's remind people that Ed Waugi is running against incumbent Hill for the 3rd District supervisorial seat. So, you know, just so we understand, you know, where we're coming from.
And in a similar Newt Gingrich type of action, he's blaming the media.
Yes.
This is my fault for making this public.
What was Newt's words? It was despicable. That's what it was. Despicable that you would reveal the fact that I was despicable in my second marriage and my behavior. And so it was despicable that you'd make me sound despicable even though I acted despicably. Okay, fine. Good,
you,
Newt.
You know, the interesting thing is that if you read Adam's emails, which I have probably about 15 of them, much more aggressive. You know, I'm malicious, I'm this, I'm that, I'm out to get him. This is all about me hurting him for some reason, and he doesn't know why I hate him so much. And this has been regular. I'll write him a list of questions, and he writes back to tell me how rotten I am. He has said F you, and it's spelled it out.
Let me say something, because this is my talk show, and I can say this, and this is so I can editorialize wherever I choose. And I will, and say this. So in the time that I've known Karen Vealey, and we've discussed the things that we've discussed on the air, and the people that we've discussed, not on the air but off the air, talking about what are we going to talk about today and which things you want to do first. Anyway, the point is this: I have not sensed, and I would say if you, Karen, if you seem to be sort of malicious towards somebody, I would tell you. I'd say, you know, you seem to be kind of not happy with this guy, you know, kind of a thing. But I don't see that, and I don't see that so far, unless all of a sudden I see it next week, I tell you that. But, you know, I don't see it so far in what you've done. And Adam Hill is a little bit of a goofer. And so he's doing some funny stuff and weird things. And so, you know, once again, he's blaming the media. So to blame you, because you bring – and here's the other thing. If he's going to have correspondence with a reporter, you know, and then say things that are unsavory in that correspondence, there's nothing that says that, you know, you can't say that that's occurred. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And so it just paints a picture of a man who's has had a lot of problems, you know, and it's not just calcoastnews.com, in my opinion. I'm going to say that. This is what I said to you earlier. In the body of humanity that I know and the sources that I read and all of that, I get the feeling that Adam Hill's different.
And I agree. And most politicians, if you ask a straight question, they answer you. I asked him 4 times night before last in emails. The same question, are you for or against the development at Price Canyon? Because I had talked to someone that was involved in getting the development together, and they told me they had met with Adam Hill, and he told them he supported them. And I was talking to people on the other side, they said they met with Adam Hill, and he supported them. I know of another big issue, and I don't want to, in case he, you know, why he's in office to get this person to where, you know, because I know people are worried that Adam's going to be mad at them for saying things,
yeah,
and that he's going to hurt their projects. But I know of another project where the person trying to develop it has said Adam Hill supports it, and the other side said he went to a meeting and told everybody he's going to stop it. He's going to both sides of the fence according to these people. And I talked to someone last night, and they said, I know he supports what I'm doing. And I gave him an email where he says he doesn't. They almost fell over. They said, I always thought, you know,
he's on my side. Okay.
But, you know, that's there are – but I think the bigger issue is what is going on with an English teacher that is so off that he can't write a sentence.
Well, the other thing, too, the other thing we've learned is that if you want to develop a piece of property, come up with a really spiffy name like Los Robles Del Mar, so that it has a nice ring to it, so that when you're trying to fight for your right to develop it, you know, people go, that's a pretty name anyway. I don't get it. We're better off, I think, saying the Price Canyon thing. That way it keeps it kind of even, Steven.
Well, then there's more than one development out there. You have.
Well, actually, yes. I mean, yeah, you know, but if you put the original proposal of John King in the mix,
yeah,
you know, we're talking about developing all the way to 227.
Yeah,
basically, you know.
So there's quite a bit more out there writing right now, and this to me is not about the developments one way or the other. This is about the behavior of a politician. And we're, you know, what is it? It's January. Usually you do not have this kind of aggressive behavior this early in a race. People usually wait till it gets a little closer before they start slinging mud in local races. There's also been three letters to the editor, two in the Tribune and one in the New Times, trashing Ed Waggie that appear to be from people that do not exist. So you have a fairly, and I don't, I have no idea who put those out there. You don't know if it's someone that just supports Adam Hill, if it's, you know, you can't say who it is. But it is pretty unsavory when people are reading about how bad Ed Waggie is, and it's not coming from a real person. It's not coming from the person that's named on there.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, this is I think what's is a little bit dismaying for me is, I'm going to say this, is that, you know, national politics, I don't have a thing in the world to do with, you know, I'll go and cast my vote like an idiot. And, you know, what the heck, I get exercise, you know. So that's fine, so I'll do that. So I've always said that I understand when people get pretty dissuaded from voting for national things because, you know, they don't feel like they're a part of it anyway. But local things, I've always felt, you know, we're all very much a part of it. You know, your vote counts, so to speak, and ask me. Romney with what happened to him, whether you got a vote reversal. But you know, here's the thing I'm saying is that, you know, I think I admire the people that run for local office, you know. I admire the fact that they desire to run for local office, and they were willing to stick it all out there and do it, you know. I'm not. Look, I'm hiding in this room. I don't do it. So that's all cool, but sometimes something's bad. Something goes wrong, or somebody's the wrong thing for the job, or whatever the case may be. You know, it reminds me of our last sheriff. And I liked the man. I really did. But I just think he was not a very competent sheriff. Now, it doesn't make him a bad guy. It just made him somewhat incompetent at what he was trying to do. And I say that with respect. Ed Waggie, to me, at this point, from what you hear, is a guy who, if somebody said to me, should Ed Waggie be a supervisor, I'd say it doesn't appear to be so. You know, it's kind of like the people, I never forget long ago a person that brought this up, and I was so in agreement with them and thought, you know, that's really an interesting thought, was they were talking about school board, people that run for the school board. Well, you have these budgets, you know, you have school boards that have $50 million budgets, and you have people that have absolutely nothing to do with finances whatsoever. They don't comprehend $50 million, you know, they can barely do their own checkbook. Well, school board members, quite frankly, they need to be somewhat astute about money matters. I mean, I think that's would be pretty much a requirement for somebody to be on a school board or lots of different boards, but I mentioned school board. Well, there's people that aren't. They get elected to school boards. They serve on school boards. They're very generous in their desire to be on a school board, but I don't know they belong there. And
I don't know a whole lot about Ed Waggie at this point.
Neither.
So I don't know if he belongs or not. I know last year I was hearing some interviews 2 years ago with supervisor candidates. And the question that really just shook me up, one of them was asked, what do you think of term limits? And their answer was upper level employees, I think should continue to have term limits. Well, A, employees don't have, staff doesn't have term limits. And there were three or four answers by the same person. I'm not even going to say who it was. Answering that, well, it was Texera. And he made a couple answers, and I thought it was someone that really didn't understand local government. You know, didn't understand the way it didn't understand process. And it doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. It's just knowledge of the system.
Well, here's the interesting thing. The only thing I know, you know, Pismo politics used to be insane. Morro Bay politics was insane. They swapped every year. Somebody would be insane in one place and then somebody would be insane in the next place. And it was actually quite amusing to follow this back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't really have a dog in the fight except, and this was told to me with extreme prejudice, I can assure you, that, you know, we started this Lost at Sea Memorial thing in Cayucas that's gotten bigger and bigger every year and more people turn out and all that kind of thing. Well, obviously that also means that the tourists, more and more tourists in Cayucas at the moment you do that. So I know that Pismo Beach decided, this is what I was told, Pismo Beach decided, well, why should we let all the tourists go up to Cayucas during the service of our own? So it seems a little bit odd and somewhat duplicit to say, well, we'll have two Lost at Sea ceremonies, which is okay, I guess, but it was kind of interesting because one was motivated more for money and one was motivated out of the goodness of our hearts. Thank you very much. All right, that's it. We're going to take a break. Dr. Carol Phillips from the Swiss Dental Center is helping sponsor the show today, and we'd love to have you call in at 786-2578, 786-2578, or 1-866-937-1340. We'll be back after this.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a million-dollar smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place, Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect, just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenient. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Hearing? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
The month of January is Restaurant Month, and the Sea Venture Restaurant invites you to come out to the beach and celebrate with this once-a-year special offer. The Sea Venture Restaurant menu is a three-course menu priced at only $30 per person. For the first course, you'll choose between their award-winning clam chowder or the iceberg wedge with croutons, jalapeno bacon, avocado, tomato, and lime Caesar dressing. The second course choices are grilled filet mignon with scalloped potatoes with onion and mushroom ragu, or orange glazed salmon with pan-fried risotto cake and vegetables tossed with prosciutto. And save room for dessert, where you'll enjoy the mango mousse with coconut sauce, kiwi and dark chocolate, or the fantastic pineapple upside cake with cherry creme anglaise and vanilla bean ice cream. You can also make this a romantic overnight getaway with dinner for two, and you'll enjoy a room with a private balcony spa, fireplace, and breakfast delivered to your room, all for $159. Now that's a deal. So start the new year off right and come down to the Sea Venture and enjoy the great winter weather and outstanding cuisine at special restaurant month pricing. The Sea Venture Resort, the best on the beach in Pismo Beach.
This is Talk Is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. You're with Bill Benica and Karen Vealey from CalCoastNews.com. And every Friday we get together right after noon, and we talk about what's been going on during the week. I apologize. I had an Adam Hill moment in my last conversation with Karen, and I meant to say that I don't understand Adam Hill from all the input that I've ever had, and not Ed Waggy, because I don't really know a lot about Ed Waggy. All right, let's talk about other things going on. This is interesting. This thing is an interesting story because there's more news today that the state is going to say, okay, we finally now have to look at our marijuana laws and how they apply to the federal government. It's finally occurred to the state that we should do that. But anyway, after more than a year of courtroom hearings, this is a story from CalCoastNews.com. San Luis Obispo County District Attorney's Office told the court it could not move ahead with its case against six of the dozen arrested in 2010 for selling medical marijuana. Now, this was this medical co-op affair.
Yeah.
And now, my impression is that what happened in all this thing was that Barry LaBarbera, the judge Barry LaBarbera, the instructions that he gave the jury were confusing. Is that do I understand?
No, it wasn't confusing. No, and it wasn't instructions given to the jury. It was parameters of what could be said to the jury.
Oh, okay.
And what he had said was the prosecution didn't want them to be able to say medical marijuana or co-ops and a number of things. The judge said no. They can the defense can use those words in their
defense.
And the defense is saying that these gentlemen thought that she was a participating co-op member. What had happened was they used a slow police officer to go around and order from her home in Lompoc marijuana from a number of cooperatives. And so they would go deliver her the marijuana. One guy even gave her some extra because she said she was sick. He gave her some for free. And there was a number of strange things going on. But they wanted to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, we thought she was part of our co-op. She joined our co-op, and we thought she was a regular member. The DA said under those parameters, he couldn't win the case. So the DA said, I can't even argue this case that way. So that's why it was thrown out.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, and basically, it's like, it's not the same as entrapment, but it sort of is. It's misrepresentation in such a way that the evidence that she collected, had it not been for the fact that she wasn't a member of the co-op, would not have had held water at all.
Well, the thing is, co-ops are legal.
Right.
And if they thought she was going to be a member of their co-op, they're not selling to someone that's not a member of their co-op.
Right,
it's legal to have a co-op, and if she was a participating member that they thought was going to continue to participate, they're fine. So it was thrown out. But the interesting thing is, you know, there's a number of stories going on with marijuana, but with this one, when this first occurred, there was a house, and this one, you had a man that had his dog kicked in front of his little daughter. You had a woman that was a grandmother was forced to lay on the floor. You had kids with guns to their heads. But in Lompoc, there was, and this was not our sheriff's department, this was a raid of a number of co-ops throughout the areas. And there was a place where a guy keeps people with cancer, and he lets people die there. So he's got some cabins and some different things, and he has medical marijuana. He gives them medical marijuana. Well, they went out, and he also delivers it to other sick people. But when they went out there, that man ended up having, he has health problems. He ended up having a heart attack while they had him on the floor. The other guy out there, they made this guy that was in bed with cancer on chemotherapy. They got him out of bed and made him sit on a chair for hours on end. He died shortly afterwards. And he had like a year left to live, and he died. I can't remember. It was a very short period of time. They wouldn't let him go to the bathroom.
Why the police? You know, it makes you always wonder sometimes why law enforcement, they're going after marijuana cooperatives. This isn't Fortress Mary Jane, you know. This is a marijuana cooperative. It's not, they don't have machine guns. They're not armed and with assault weapons. They're growing marijuana for a co-op that is supposed to be nonprofit, which is the rule. So it seems heavy-handed, you know, how one conducts oneself under that circumstance, as far as law.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I've been reading the federal, why they're going after the storefronts. And they're going after the storefronts primarily because some of them, they say, are bringing in $100,000, you know, a month and this and that, and they're really more of an organized crime type of
facility. And I understand
that.
I understand what they're saying.
And there are some delivery services. There's allegations that there's one in this area right now that is pretty bad, and it's more of a criminal enterprise. So there you do have some that are, you know, it can be in anything. But for example, the woman that they went after in Paso Robles, she had been very, very sick. Her husband, I think he was a tree trimmer, or owned a tree service, a very well-known, successful tree service. And they weren't making a profit on it at all. They were doing this. She got sick, and medical marijuana helped her, so she wanted to help others. She was also giving massages when she went out. She was giving vitamins. And they were doing this. She was doing this as a – she really was doing it as a service. This was the weirdest one that they went after. And I think her dog died or something during – you know, her dog died as a, during the – either right then or the day or two later. So there was a number of weird instances. But I would think, you know, yeah, there are some criminal cases out there with this type of thing. But I would have thought they would have done more inspection than just saying, okay, she delivered to somebody.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Now we have to remember the timeline of this thing. I talked to Sheriff Parkinson, interviewed him about it, and actually I had a long phone call with him one time.
Yeah.
And just said, here, I have to understand what's going on here because I don't get it. And so he said, and that's when he said to me, he said, you know what, the state has to sort this out. We can't continue to try to enforce this or know what to do with this in any logical way unless the state comes up with rules that tell us. And so that's why I'm glad to hear that that's what's going on. You know, the state's finally saying, okay, we're going to start to look at this thing and say, what are we supposed to do? The Attorney General's going to start doing it. Now, for the Attorney General to do it, the only thing that's a little bit about that, every time you hear the Attorney General's doing something, then you have this idea of, well, is it going to be more prosecutory, you know, to be involved in such a thing, or are they actually going to try to figure out better rules? Because the Attorney General's office can't do it without, you know, the judicial branch. It just isn't going to happen. You know, that has to happen, I think. And so I don't know what this all means at this point, but hopefully it means that we're moving forward somewhere. Because once again, you know, and I've said this many times, I voted for Prop 215. I have no problem with people that need marijuana needing marijuana. I don't need marijuana, so I'm not involved in it, you know, but there are people that do. And that's fine to me. I just think that's fine. I don't have any problem with it, you know. People that are, I mean, it's just a matter of trying to alleviate suffering. Now, when people say, well, okay, if you get organized crime, they're just selling, you know, pot to potheads. Well, okay, we have laws about that right now, and there's a lot of people that contend that we shouldn't, that if, you know, we just sold marijuana and taxed the crap out of it, you know, we'd have a lot of money and everything would be fine. Whatever. But, you know, the way it stands now, it has to be sorted through. It really does. It's just screwed up.
It is. It is. And things need to get better. And at the same time as all this is going on, federal prosecutors are going after the storefronts in a very, very aggressive manner. And what they do is they go after the – so let's say you own a building and you're renting to someone that has a storefront. They send you a letter, and they only give you – I think they give you 15 days to get them out of there.
You seize the building.
Yeah, and I think if you've already – I don't think it's 15 days just to get them out of there. I think it's 15 days to file eviction, you know, to show that you're doing something. But they've already taken, I think, 7 or 8 buildings in our district alone. We're the central district. I get the press releases from the federal feds. I think they've taken some in Sacramento. They just took 3 more earlier this week, and they sent out 24 or so notices of taking more. Costa Mesa is next. They're just moving all over the place, grabbing buildings. But, you know, they did. The interesting thing is, on some of these, they've actually sent the profits, and, you know, this guy was actually shipping here. He was making $100,000 a month, blah, 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 blah. Because the issue with these medical marijuana, it's not supposed to be a moneymaker.
Okay, here's where these raids took place. And these are in unincorporated areas. And heavens knows if you've been to Lake Elsinore, you know how unincorporated that is. But Lake and Murrieta, same thing. La Pueni, which, of course, though, is in the heart of East L.A. And then also Walnut, which is kind of out there in the valley. But anyway, but basically what they're doing is the sheriff's departments are realizing that, you know, the greater activity is taking place in places where there's less law enforcement, obviously, to catch them. So that's what they're cracking down on. Now, once again, until marijuana is legal, if it becomes legal, you know, the law's the law. I'm sorry. You know, when they tell us we can run red lights, then we'll all run red lights. But until they tell us we can, we can't. You know, so that's the name of that tune. You know, you got to kind of go by the letter of the law, I would say. All right, other things that are going on in our world. We had a house fire in San Luis Obispo that claimed the life of a woman whose she and her husband owned Swenson's Ice Cream.
Oh, really?
In San Luis Obispo, they were the ones years and years and years ago. You know how long ago Swenson's Ice Cream was there? You don't know. Swenson's Ice Cream was there. Yeah. That goes back 30, 40 years. And so they owned that. And so she kind of lived by herself, and she was a little bit she was a different kind of a gal. And I found out about it because a good friend of my mother-in-law's lives right next door.
And I've heard the one on the TV station said she was a hoarder, and that was part of the problem, that there was just too much in the house.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So then we had a stabbing outside the art center. I always call it the art museum. And people look at me and they go, we have an art museum? I go, yeah, it's right there along the creek. It's the art center, Bill, art center. But so this looks like it could have been possibly homeless altercation. They don't know you. They say that.
Well, the two guys weren't homeless that were attacked.
So that's interesting because
yeah,
two guys
were attacked.
What they're talking about is that, you know, there's a lot of vagrants that hang out there, which they do, of course.
And, you know, I was probably about a month and a half ago, I was meeting a friend of mine. We were walking from her work to go have lunch at Cielo's. And we were walking right by, we walked by the art center going down Monterey Street and by a group of homeless guys. And the one guy was talking to this woman. He said, "I'm gonna go stick him." And this guy started running. This other homeless guy started running that way. And he told her, he goes, "I'm gonna stick him." And he had a knife in his hand and he started chasing him. And I called 911. And then we walked over. It was very funny. I walked over to Cielo. The owner was there. Walked in about 10 minutes later, and he goes, I just saw a guy chasing a guy up the street with a knife. But it's a little bit rough over there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, you know, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, you're back to the thing of, you know, the Supreme Court said you can't kick people off the street because they're poor. You know, it's not illegal to be poor. And homeless, but, you know, obviously we realize that it causes its own problems. And we've talked about this before. We have a huge mental health issue amongst our homeless that, you know, just is, it's not addressed, of course, because it's just not addressed.
And, you know, the face of the homeless is not Mission Plaza. It's just not. I have walked, I have done a lot of stories on the homeless. I haven't done any lately. I had an intern that wanted to do a story on the homeless and wanted me to go with her last summer or the summer before last. And she ended up not finishing the story. We went to probably 10 different encampments. And there are encampments with cribs and tents. You know, kids that are laying their school backpacks outside the tent, getting, you know, diapers hanging. I mean, there is the face of homeless is not the... The downtown Mission Plaza, rough looking.
So here, I'll give you another example. If you want to see the face of homelessness, and you don't want to go that far, you say, well, I'm not going to go wandering through the creeks and stuff and looking for people with cribs and diapers. Just drive down Prado Road between South Higuera Street and the freeway, Elks Lane. Just drive down Prado Road and see how many cars people are living in along the sides of Prado Road.
Yes, because they can walk. The meals are there.
Right.
So they can go get a meal there. And if you there are certain areas where there's a lot of homeless. If you know where the Elks Club is.
Right.
If you go all around the back of the Elks are encampments.
Right.
And
again, it's because of access. It's access to the Prado Center, and that's why.
Caltrans is really good about the Caltrans there on Madonna. They actually, it's the neatest homeless campus you've ever seen. What they do is they lay out trash bags for the homeless every night. And they lay them out they give them trash bags. They clean up and they keep their trash and they actually recycle. They have the recycle bags hanging on trees and their regular bags. And every day they bring them back over and they throw them in the right spot. And the Caltrans guys take them and redo them. So that area all back behind Caltrans. And they let several of the guys that don't feel comfortable sleeping there, actually they throw their bags and stuff, under bushes around Caltrans and they sleep on the porches while the guys are gone. When they get to work in the morning, they pack up their stuff and move. So they actually sleep in the doorways there.
It's an amazing scene. It's just an amazing scene. Last night we were in Madonna Plaza, and there was a lady that was outside of a store, you know, and she had all of her bags and her stuff, and she was sitting there, you know. And it certainly occurred to me as I drove by, I thought to myself, well, tomorrow it's supposed to rain. So now where does that woman go park her fanny? Because they won't let her park it inside where the carts are. You know, over at the Ralph's over there, they won't let her park. You know, she can't go in there. She's not allowed to. So, I you know, it's just it's an insane mess.
I saw a guy the other, right before Christmas, and I thought he was a little bit, how would you say? I thought there was something mentally wrong with him. Because he was walking across, I would pull down, getting off to go to the Madonna Plaza. And he was walking along a little line and hopping, kind of. And I finally realized he didn't have any shoes on. He had one sock that was half rotted off, and the other sock was on and no shoes. And someone had taken his shoes, and he was trying to collect bottles to get a pair of shoes. He was about 65 years old. He had scabs on the bottom of his feet. It was just
hideous.
It was awful. It was absolutely. I actually had my daughter with us, and we took him over to Kohl's and bought him a pair of a $14 pair of discount shoes.
Well, speaking of things that are hard to look right in the eye, here we have Paul Brown in Morro Bay, and he's decided to resign. And so, and I love the headline you had: "Did stolen guns prompt Brown's resignation?" he was in training. Unless you shot yourself, you know, there's not much more you could do wrong when you're in training to be a cop, in my opinion. So anyway, so Paul's had a storied career. So he says he has irons in the fire, but you know, I think that he made an incredibly ridiculous mistake.
And I think one of the big issues is he was so close to an elementary school, and to leave, you know, near an elementary school to leave guns in a car unlocked. I think the laws are even stricter. The laws about leaving a gun in a car is stricter near a school.
I understand that. It wouldn't matter where the heck he parked his car. I mean, the point is that he had loaded guns in an unlocked car, and that's beyond uncool. All right. Other things that are happening. We got a little bit more time today. We'll end out today with Etta James, who passed away at the age of 73. I thought I'd mention that. Other things are going on.
And we also had, what's his name, Lipko? What's his first name? The gentleman that was the big promoter here in the area.
Oh, yeah, who passed away, right.
And he was, people really liked working with him. He brought tickets, you know, did the Mid-State Fair tickets and the tickets for Avila and had done the tickets for Pozo Saloon. And just was a really well-known in the music industry. And he was fairly young. I think he was 50-something.
Yeah, and I have to be honest with you, I did not know this man. And I'm surprised that I've been around as long and we didn't cross paths somewhere.
Oh, so you didn't?
No, I did not know him.
Okay.
So anyway, that was interesting to me when I read that, and I go, okay, well, now how come I've never crossed paths with this man? It was just kind of odd to me that I hadn't. Let me mention something that isn't calcosnews.com because it was on the news on the tuber today as I was leaving CNN. And just to add the remarkableness of Mr. Chicken of the Sea, the captain of the tanker, try to imagine this. I think it was a purser because they were speaking Italian, so you couldn't tell, but they had, the translation and teletext underneath. The person was telling everybody that had mustered, everybody kind of got the idea that we better get a life jacket on, and even though the instructions weren't lousy, we better get a life jacket on and hit the mess deck, kind of now and see what's going on. So while in the process of everybody, lingering around there, what they did was someone got up and said, this was the ship's crew, said, we would really request that you go back to your cabins. Because remember they said the very first thing they told people was they had an electrical generator problem. And they said this, and this is one of these things somebody took with their cell phone, And here the person's saying, we fixed the electrical generator problem and everything's safe. Please go back to your cabins. And it was like, holy moly, And here's a ship that's sinking. So I don't know. Now they're saying that it doesn't look like there's any hope to get the other people out. One more thing I'll mention that's not local news, but I want to make sure I say it today, and because it should be a lead story stuff, and that's we lost 6 Marines in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. It's beyond the pale to lose young men in combat, having been there. But there's this thing that makes it worse when someone dies out of an accident. I don't know how I can explain that mentality for somebody who's been through it, but it just is.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So
it seems like that shouldn't happen. There's all this danger. How could that happen to somebody? Yeah. And it doesn't. For some reason, it makes you feel stranger. I that's all I can say about it. All right, anything else you want to talk about today, Karen? You got to make a big irons in the fire? You want to talk about anything going on?
We've got a big iron coming out soon. We're working on another public official and some other sexual, how would you say?
Peccadilloes.
It's sexual assaults by a public official. We'll hopefully have that out next week.
Yeah, that's different than a peccadillo. That's for sure.
It goes past the harassment.
It goes past that, right?
It actually makes the Arroyo Grande one look mild.
How sad. And then, of course, we found out also, the Leon Panetta released the facts on how the sexual assaults in the military, which, again, I'm flabbergasted at. I mean, it's beyond my understanding whatsoever from the time I was in the service where we would say I forget the article on the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the exact thing that has to do with rape. But if you were trying to embarrass somebody, how men are when they joke with each other. But so they would say, in your case, remember, penetration, however slight, is sufficient to complete the offense, because that's the line that's the actual language they used in the Uniform Court of Military Justice. Anyway, but I can't for the life of me understand it. It's like you would think there's absolutely no discipline of any kind that we're a bunch of pirates out there, and you just do what you want.
And I didn't read the whole thing yet. Before I left the house today, I noticed I had an email from the federal attorney's office. So they send them almost every day, just different things they're doing. And they arrested they have now charged one of the federal Lompoc prison guards, a female, of assaulting or having sex with one of the prisoners and doing something to the prisoner. I didn't read the whole thing, but that's unusual. I thought, wow, it's a female that's now going to jail for something she did to a male prisoner.
The things that some men's fantasies are made of. Karen Veeley and I will get together again next week. We have breaking stories. She'll be on the air, and if not, we'll still have breaking news, and you can watch it on calquestnews.com. And then she'll be in again next Friday, and we hope you have a good weekend, Karen. Thank you, man.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Tomorrow, for one day, South Carolina becomes the most significant state in the Union. The Republican presidential primary there may serve to further winnow the field.
We must cut federal spending, we must cap federal spending, and we must have a balanced budget finally in this country.
Mitt Romney says it's a two-man race, him and Newt Gingrich.
We don't have a problem with the American people. We have a problem with government.
Still running high-profile campaigns, Rick Santorum.
You will send a very clear message as to who the conservative candidate is. Charleston may not send that message, but the upstate will send that message.
And Ron Paul.
We should have no inheritance tax whatsoever. It should be zero, just as the income tax should be zero as well.
Polls open tomorrow morning. Personal liberty versus corporate security. Congressional support for controversial anti-piracy law crumbles. Here's CBS's Bob Fuss.
In a major victory for Internet companies and the millions of web users who joined their protest, the Senate shut down its effort to pass a tough anti-piracy law. The House has done the same. Senate Democratic and Republican leaders agreed more compromise is needed between those worried about theft of movies and music and those fearing loss of freedom on the Internet. But Democrat Pat Leahy, the bill's sponsor, called it a knee-jerk reaction that will just help criminals in China steal intellectual property online and drain our economy. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Occupy the courts.
This time demonstrators are taking their case to courthouses. So-called Occupy protesters have gathered in more than 100 cities across the country to mark the two-year anniversary of the Supreme Court's very controversial Citizens United decision. They say it gave too much power to big groups who spend big bucks on election campaigns. Outside the Supreme Court here in Washington, some protesters wore judicial robes and sang parody songs. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
A message to Iran, cease and desist with this dalliance with nuclear weaponry. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton.
We're making it clear to Iran that its pursuit of nuclear weapons and its needless provocations, such as the threats on, regarding the Straits of Hormuz, place it on a dangerous path.
Search for 21 missing after that cruise ship grounded off the Tuscan coast, set to resume in the morning. Hope is the ship has stabilized because there are fears of disaster in the environmentally hypersensitive area. CBS's Alan Pizzi.
An oil spill here would be disastrous. 1,500 people call this island home, and their only source of revenue is the tourists. And the tourists only come because it's clean, and if there's oil, nobody's going to come.
Today, the cruise line CEO says the captain gave incorrect information after the accident, hampering rescue efforts. 11 people confirmed dead. The Dow today, finishing up 96 points. The NASDAQ loses a couple. This is CBS News.
Do you want to lose all your money? Well, I've got some bad news for you. The stock market is a rigged game, and it's rigged against you. What Wall Street doesn't want you to know is that there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth. The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008. And they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
From CBS's Peter King now, the story of those bravely going forward where no commercial spacecraft has gone before.
The SpaceX Corporation hoped to launch its unmanned supply ship from Cape Canaveral February 7th. Last week, the company announced a delay, and now it says the Falcon 9 rocket won't fly until late March, with more tests needed for its Dragon capsule. It's been just over a year since SpaceX became the first private company to orbit a spacecraft and recover it successfully. That gave NASA the confidence for the space station flight. SpaceX is one of four companies that wants to launch commercial cargo and crew vehicles to the station, filling the gap created by the space shuttle's retirement. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Yale University changing its policy on tailgating. No more kegs of beer at university athletic events or any other function on campus. Change comes after a woman was killed, two others injured, when a truck drove through a tailgating area at the Harvard-Yale football game in November. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Jay Farner here. Happy New Year from Quicken Loans.
Do you want to get a jump start on your finances for 2012? We close a majority of our home loans in 30 days or less, so you can purchase a new home or save money by refinancing and wrap up those New Year's resolutions in record time. Here's the best part. Interest rates are still historically low. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.875%, APR 4.17%. And we're proud to announce that for the second year in a row, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the United States. That rate again is 3.875%, APR 4.17%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. With a wide selection to choose from, they also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
The MRI system everyone has been waiting for is now at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Patients love it. No more claustrophobia. No more masks over your face. No more tight spaces. And imaging speed to get you in and out, faster than any other magnet made. Plus, doctors love its unsurpassed image quality. The Siemens Skyra produces images doctors only dreamed of before. When you need your next MRI, ask for the new wide-open, ultra-high-field Siemens Skyra at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Even if you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Best image quality, the greatest patient comfort, and the lowest possible price. Why should you go anywhere else? When you need an MRI, call San Luis Diagnostic Center. 542-9700. That's 542-9700 to schedule your exam on the most modern equipment available.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonné. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Hey, kids, remember, lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute fun.
That means it's time for the Palm Theater with Jim D. Hi, Jim D.
Bill, great to see you as always.
Great to see you as always, too. I didn't call you first today because I got, I don't know what happened. I ran right. Something's wrong.
I'm making a habit of it here.
Some dead bodily function. Anyway, I'm okay now. We want to talk about some palm theory stuff, but wait, I'm trying to find, give me one more second. I'll tell you what, you talk about first. You start while I try to, you know, fumble around with papers. Tell us about the Jewish Film Festival.
This is the second annual. We had one last year. I guess that makes a lot of sense. And it's at the Palm, we'll be having four screenings. One is 7 o'clock Saturday night, and it's a fabulous film on Yasha Heifetz, the violinist. And then I believe three screenings on Sunday at 11, 1:30, and 7. And I believe it's in the ticket that you're looking for there, Bill. There's a nice write-up by Sarah Daly, used to be Sarah Lynn at the paper, describing the film festival. And apparently it's sold out. I mean, hopefully you should come and maybe try for tickets, but apparently they've really done a great job and sold out the whole weekend.
Yep. I'm surprised that you didn't say to me, Jim. Bill, I've observed how you conduct your life. I've observed the way things work for you. Why don't you go to the bottom of the pile first? Because it was indeed the last thing in the pile.
Okay. It's always the last place you look, right?
The last place you look. And I'm talking about. All right, well, I think that's really neat. Now, what inspired the first Jewish Film Festival? Whose idea was that?
There's some local filmmakers, and I'm not really sure who is the real spearhead behind it. Maura Johnston from the San Luis Arts Center is a mover and shaker for it, but there's some other people involved, and I don't want to sound too clueless here. This was set up about 6 months ago, and here we are, and we just sort of went through the films that we're going to be showing, and that's about it. I'm not really sure who is really spearheading it, but it's a nice get together, and the films are very high quality.
Cool.
Yeah, it's this weekend.
Good idea. We have the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. It takes place March 7th through the 11th, and that's coming up. And I've left a message for Wendy. Just call me back. Call me back, Wendy. Anyway, I left a message for Wendy to call me back. And so we're going to get involved in all that. So let me remind you that a great deal of what happens at the film festival happens at the Palm Theater. And let me remind you that a great deal of what happens with the film festival happens right here on Talk Is Cheap, your Friends and Neighbors Network, as I interview the filmmakers of our day.
Well, you know, the coup that Wendy, I think, got was the screening of Citizen Kane up at Hearst Castle, which is like, I think that is a huge story.
So Wendy was behind that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. That's cool.
Wendy, I mean, she's the one who first told me about it, and uh-huh. The fact that it made the front page last week.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But I think, those who are aware of this, this is a big deal.
But here's the thing that's interesting when you think about it. Enough time has passed. You know, it's always these things about when a certain length of time passes, which is why this movie, they got this movie out now with Mel Gibson and Sandra Bullock about the 9/11 thing. The family that's involved in 9/11.
Mel Gibson?
No, it's Tom. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. I think Mel Gibson is
Mel Gibson's still
done.
In prison, I think. Okay, so anyway. So Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock. So they have this thing with us. So they've said, okay, so it's 2001, it's 2012, it's 11 years. Okay, it's doable. And I have to be very honest with you. When I was when I first started radio and there was an issue that was kind of touchy, kind of iffy thing, I would watch Johnny Carson. And then the first time that Johnny Carson did a joke about it, I'd wait two more weeks and then do a joke. Because it was kind of the rule of thumb, you know, he would do it first. So here, what's my point again? I had a point here. Where was I going?
Well, the film is, extremely loud and incredibly close.
Yes, so they wait a certain length of time. Oh, that's all I was talking about. So it's a Hearst thing. So here's the thing. I think enough time has passed where I have to be, if I was a Hearst, I would be amused by showing this movie now. I would find it really kind of cool to show this movie now. You know what I mean? And finally say, you know what? Obviously Orson Welles was talking about, Grandpa, and yet, this is, it's in a place, because it's at the castle, because it's one of the best movies ever done, because it's at the castle, the whole thing just comes together in a really cool way, I think.
I think it's great, too, and I agree with you in the fact that maybe it's been too long since they've been holding up. But then again, apparently Hearst himself wanted to destroy the movie, destroy all prints.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
And there's other things that perhaps we can't talk about on the air that have to do with Citizen Kane that I think got Hearst up in arms. They probably just had to check to make sure that he's not rolling over in his grave right now, the fact that this film is showing up at the castle. But still, it's a great movie. And I forgot who brought up the idea, but, in the film, the castle is called Xanadu. It's where Charles Foster Kane lives, and it's kind of portrayed dark and kind of murky, and that's not the way Hearst Castle is at all. In fact, you know, I went up there for the first time after I lived here for something like 20-plus years.
Really?
And it's an amazing place. I mean, I have some issues about a guy who builds a castle for himself, but on the other hand, I mean, what an amazing place.
The one place that I always have wondered about Hearst Castle is the main dining room, which was taken from the pews and the bishop's seats and all that stuff from a church in Spain. And I've always thought to myself, did the church say, well, just go ahead and take our stuff? You know, I can't imagine that they just voluntarily said, go ahead and take our stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know if he bought it. I don't know how it got there, but anyway, I thought it was curious. Anyhow, I'm not an Orson Welles aficionado, but I think that Orson Welles was portraying the dark side of William Randolph Hearst by having a dark castle.
Yeah, and of course the fact that he was so rich and his newspapers were extremely influential, yellow journalism, they were starting wars and so on and so forth. But, you know, again, I agree with you. You need to sort of separate the film from the reality of Hearst Castle and the fact that I'm always astonished looking at that film, and I've seen it many, many times. Orson Welles was 25 when he made it. You know, think about what we were doing at age 25.
Well, let's not think about that.
Plus, he also makes this incredibly groundbreaking film. It's still fresh today. And the fact that he ages, I mean, here's a guy who's 25, and when he portrays Hearst in his later years, well, let's just say the makeup artist and the acting was top-notch.
I think it's just groovy. And I don't know how you could go 20 years without going to Hearst Castle. I have, but the last thing I got from Hearst Castle, which I think was really kind of cool, besides a $12 hot dog, they had rose cuttings from the castle. And you could buy them. They were selling them in the gift shop.
Hmm.
And so I bought a couple of those little guys, and we planted them. And they, you want to talk about dark and weird, you know, they're like the thorn bushes that intertwine and go out there, and it's fun. But anyway, they're growing, so that's kind of fun. So there you go. I have history. I have Hearst Castle roses, and I also have the cuttings, whatever they're called, from the tree at the Mission Plaza, Chinese silk tree. I have two of those growing, which eventually will ruin my driveway, my neighbor's driveway, the street, the house, everything else. But I won't be around for that. So,
well, you know, one bit about Hearst Castle, you always see footage up at Hearst Castle. If you do see footage, like Charlie Chaplin is there and these Hollywood stars. And if I'm, you know, I could be wrong here, but apparently you if you were in Hollywood and you want to go hang out at the castle, you come up to as far as Pismo Beach, and that's where the railroad stopped, apparently. And I'm sure maybe one of the callers can correct me on this. And then it was sort of like by horse and carriage, you would go from Pismo Beach all the way up to San Simeon to the castle. So that was kind of a long haul, but I also look at the isolation. I mean, you're thinking of these movie stars, and hey, you go up to the castle, and, you know, you had some privacy, perhaps, and...
Well, here's the thing people have to remember, and I don't think... We're so used to Highway 1 going all the way up the coast.
Yes.
Highway 1 didn't go all the way up the coast.
Mm-hmm.
It did exactly what you just said. It went to Pismo Beach. So when you went up to San Simeon, there wasn't this highway that was going by that people were driving on. There was... San Simeon was this isolated thing all by itself out in the middle of nowhere that had one little road going into it, you know, and that's where the road ended on the coast, you know. So back in the days when they had the big arguments about, you know, should we put a golf course out there and all that, you got the west side, you got the east side. I go, you know what, when Hearst bought this piece of property, there was no east side or west side, north side or south side. It was a big, huge thing that he owned.
Well, even though apparently, what, you go up to the castle, and if you look 360 degrees, he owned it all, apparently.
Yeah,
so there you go.
All right, let's do this. We've never done this before, but I just happened to come across this accidentally today, so I thought, what the heck? Why don't we do it? So here's what we're going to do, Jimmy. We're going to do a movie review right here on the air. And I can't find any of that. I don't know what's going on. Oh, right here it is. Now, they say, here's how they describe it. Actor David Oyelowo talks about playing a Tuskegee Airman in Red Tails. I can't pronounce the guy's last name at all. But anyway, so this will play in 15 seconds. We're going to have a review of Red Tails. This is Tuskegee Airman. I hope.
We make a big change for just a little money. New Glidden Duo Paint Plus Primer. One coat does double duty and fits our budget, so there's a brand new room right where the old one used to be. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
You know what? This isn't the first time that you've broken barriers. You were the first black actor to play an English monarch with the Royal Shakespeare Company. Henry VI, Lightning Little. Okay, two very different men, but this opportunity must have been incredible for you.
It really was incredible for me, not least because, you know, I'm from the UK. I knew very little, in fact, nothing about the Tuskegee Airmen. And when I first read this script and found out what these men did for this country at the time they did it, the way they did it, it was just a story I became obsessed about being part of telling.
So growing up in England and Nigeria, what was it like to walk the grounds of Tuskegee University in Alabama?
It was incredible, you know. I mean, Tuskegee, Alabama is a tiny little town, 12,000 population, and to think that this is where the Tuskegee Airmen trained and went on to do these incredible things. They basically went on to help save the world in the 40s in the Second World War, and it was just indicative to me of the fact that, you know, great things start with a small seed, and that's what these guys did, because what they did has ramifications for the freedom we enjoy now.
Amen. Well, considering that history, what was it like for you as a black actor to be a part of this, and the fact that George Lucas had to defy Hollywood to get this film made?
Well, one of the joys for me getting to do this film was getting to be with a group of black actors where we were the center of our own story. There was no need to jettison in a white character to make the film feel like it could cross over. This is a full-bore action movie that is not just for black people, it's for all people. And that's what you get with George Lucas. He absolutely understands his audience. He knows what they want, and that we have in bucket loads with Red Tails.
So then, as a black cast, you guys really did share a bond like the actual airmen did during the war, David?
Yeah, we did, because we were very aware of the opportunity we were being afforded. I mean, one of the things Terrence Howard, who is also in the film, said to us is, you know, when I was a younger actor, nothing like this happened, nothing like this has happened, and you guys should really be aware that this is a very rare situation. So that in and of itself was very bonding for us. We were very aware that this was an opportunity both for us as actors and also to celebrate the airmen, what they did, unsung heroes, a largely untold story, especially on the big screen. So, you know, that was something we took to heart, and we knew we had to come through for them.
Well, not only are you a terrific actor, you've got a huge heart.
And a really nice flight jacket, by the looks of that thing there, an airman's jacket. So that was our review there. But other than them talking about the movie they made being wonderful, we hear it's not that wonderful.
Oh, it's gotten mixed reviews, but I tend to think it might be a really great popcorn movie. And, of course, George Lucas has been on a number of shows promoting the film, and his whole approach was making a nice old-fashioned war film with true heroes, and that's what I think he did. It's funny, though, George Lucas having problems getting a film in movie theaters. It could have been the all-black cast, or maybe, let's take it back. George Lucas took Star Wars, which I think he had like a small promotional film or, you know, like a preview. He had a heck of a time selling that one. So finally 20th Century Fox picks it up, and they've been happy ever since, I think.
I don't know. I don't think, I hope not in this day and age, I don't know, but I hope in this day and age it wouldn't, because this has an all-black cast. I would hope it not so. But I think more movies are hit-and-miss affairs. They just are.
Yeah.
You know, Saving Private Ryan did well. Deer Hunter did okay. Deer Hunter did very well. Full Metal Jacket, you know, some of these. And it does. They didn't have to have anything. And the weird part about the Vietnam ones is a lot of it had nothing to do with any reality I ever saw over there, but okay, fine. You know, whereas World War II movies try to be as authentic as they possibly can be, in my opinion. So it's kind of like you're just a hit and a miss thing when you're going to do a war movie, and you just never know. Now, here's an interesting thing that's going on, and I talked about it earlier this week. Catherine Bigelow is, and somebody else is another person involved with her, want to make a movie about the Osama bin Laden, you know, taking Osama bin Laden out. Now, there are already people in the government that are already concerned that people released classified information to her that should not have, stuff she should not know. And they're worried about what it is they're going to show in this movie. Now, I said, well, they already got the helicopter. They got, you know, what's left of it. They got the helicopter. They got a drone we just had land in Iran. You know, I mean, I don't know what you're going to protect anymore, but okay. So what the possibility is, when they asked her, she was being interviewed, they said, is it possible? No, that wasn't her. It was the guy on the committee, one of these senators. They said, I should remember his name, but anyway. They said, is it possible that she'd be required to screen this for the military and the CIA before she could release it?
Hmm.
And he said, maybe. I thought, boy, been forever since that happened. But then I think to myself, every time Tom Clancy came out with a new book when he was a fairly new author, people would go, where does the guy find out this stuff?
Hmm.
You know, and he would always deny, and say, you can find all this stuff on the Internet. Nobody else could find it on the Internet. The people in the military couldn't find it on the Internet. You know, there was just things that he had in his stories that were like, you know, they were not known to people. And so, you know, I know it was vexing to them that this man was writing these books and having this information, and where was he getting some of this information, but they didn't stop him writing his books. You know, he wrote his books, and they were published, and that's the way it is. So this movie thing's weird.
Well, you know, how many movies have you seen where it starts out where it says inspired by true events?
Yeah, that's true.
Or based on a true story? Well, that doesn't say this is the true story. You know, inspired by sort of gives you some wiggle room, and I'm kind of curious if her new film, you know, she can elaborate or,
maybe,
you know,
fictionalize. Maybe she wants to say, guess what? This is what happened.
Well, then she should make a documentary, I would think. Yeah. You know, interview the people who went in.
They won't want to be interviewed.
No, they won't do it. Okay. But, again, I think there's a lot of wiggle room when you say based on true events to where you've got something that happened and then you flesh out characters that never existed or whatever. So, I mean, there's a lot of, shall we say, taking liberties. That's maybe what I'm looking for.
I rewatched the other. It's one of those movies that comes on. I say, okay, Bill, you've seen this plenty of times. Turn it off. And it's not like one of the great old classics, you know, with a Bogey or somebody. It's Fargo.
Oh,
for some reason, Fargo, and when it comes on, I got to go, I got to watch this for a minute or two, you know. I sit there watching, but I noticed that I happened to have the TV on, and I saw the very opening of it. Yeah, it was opening. And it said that this was actually based on true events.
Oh, there you go.
And you go, no, it couldn't be. No, this couldn't be based on true events, could it?
That's a great movie. Great. You know, when the Coen brothers are doing, you know, there's sort of this ongoing idea about the Coen brothers. It's almost every other film that they make, because they make one, about one a year, every other one is a classic, and then the one in between is just okay. And I don't know, that sort of was good for me, but...
they got the Coen brothers, and who's the other brothers that are out there making movies?
Oh, the Farrelly brothers.
And who did the Matrix?
It starts with a W.
Wachowski brothers.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, it is interesting though. You're right. That tends to be with the Coen brothers. That tends to be a pattern. It seems like.
Yeah, and it's too bad. I think they're great filmmakers. But Fargo. I mean, again, I would turn it on and I'll watch it again.
You know, here's the thing. I think, you know, let's be honest, and we have to, because look what's happening to television. All the older great actors are now showing up on TV series. You know, because it's a constant paycheck. You know, you got money in the bank, and they're getting to the age when they're, you know, they hope they get cast in a great movie, but they may not. You know, and that's just what Hollywood does. So I think that part of what goes on with it's like we talked about Robert De Niro being in every single script somebody handed him. He said, okay, I'll do it. You know, he's like the working class actor, you know, saying, okay, I got to keep my job. But I think also with producers, you know, and that they are the same way. I think part of them is saying, okay, we got to keep, you know, some money coming in. So for the next great one we want to do, we got to have some extra bucks, you know. So they make one that they know they're going to make money. They're not going, you know, they're not going to fall on their face probably, but it's not going to be that great.
Yeah. Well, these days, you know, if you're in a commercial or in a television show, apparently you're about a million times more visible than you may be in a film. People watch TV and then commercial endorsements and things like that. Boy, you're getting your face out there, It may lengthen your career just by doing TV and commercials.
And here's what's fascinating, too, is if you look at the recent commercials starring football stars, they starred Rodgers and Breeze. Wrong choice. Sorry, wrong choice. Anyway.
Well, you remember the Bill Murray film, Lost in Translation. I mean, there's a lot of stars who will probably not appear in a commercial in this country, but they go over to Japan and they cut a commercial, like Bill Murray did in Lost in Translation. It makes a gazillion dollars, and You know, in this country, it's not like he's selling out because he's in some other country, but apparently very lucrative business to go to another country and do a commercial.
Very interesting because I know somebody in San Luis Obispo whose daughter, very beautiful young lady, she's probably 85 now. I'm getting old. But no, anyway, their daughter was a model in Japan.
Well,
but she didn't look Japanese. I mean, she didn't look Japanese or anything, but she whatever look she had, the Japanese wanted. You know,
yeah.
And so she made them a skillion dollars, you know,
modeling
in Japan. It's just an amazing thing. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about all the great things that are going on at the Palm Theater because coming up starting today is the Academy Award, is a Golden Globe winner and a possible Academy Award winner and a nominee, and that's The Artist. We'll talk about that with Jim when we come back.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a million-dollar smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place, Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect, just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenient. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Hearing? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
Hi, this is Michael Morin from Morin Brothers Automotive with Lenny and Gertie, the diagnostic duo. Lenny was telling me that the local Volkswagen dealer has lost the franchise and would no longer be selling the hot little German cars. It's always sad when a local business struggles, but the good news for Volkswagen owners is that Morin Brothers can keep their cars on the road and running right. Our skilled Volkswagen technicians can diagnose and repair even the peskiest problems, like the dreaded check engine light, annoying little coolant leaks, even oddball instrument cluster issues. Using the RosTech software on our laptop, we can query your car's computer and persuade it to reveal its innermost secrets. Volkswagens are both practical and entertaining to drive and own, and it pays to take them to a shop that cares. That's right, Lenny. At Morin Brothers, we understand that you have choices when it comes to auto service and repair, and we appreciate your choosing us to work on your car.
Call Morin Brothers at 541-2407 to book an appointment for your Volkswagen, or come by their shop at 4090 Broad Street. Look for the building with the green metal. Woof.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul. We're back at it. We're back at it. Jim D, my guest from the Palm Theater on Palm, across from the Palm Theater. All right. We're talking about what's going on at the Palm, and we have a new movie starring today, and we'll talk about this one big time because it won Golden Globe Awards, and also, of course, it'll be up for Academy Awards. And they say, you know, that, of course, the Golden Globe is the precursor to the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know a lot of us are pulling. A lot of us say this man deserves a flipping statue, and that's George Clooney. And I mean, this man deserves his Academy Award. And he's got a good movie now, and you're still playing that, but we'll get to that. But all right, let's talk about The Artist and what it's about.
The Artist is by a French director, and I feel at a loss because I don't have his name. But there's a number of American actors. John Goodman is in it. Malcolm McDowell's in it for about 10 seconds. James Cromwell is in it. But this film is a silent film. It's black and white, and it's very clever. It kind of covers the same sort of territory that Singin' in the Rain does, in the fact that actors had to deal with the newness of sound coming in the late 20s, and there are some careers that took a nosedive and some careers that flourished, but obviously a major change in motion pictures going from silent to sound in the late 20s, early 30s. But this film is just a lot of fun. There's dancing, and there's some clever jokes that are made about sound throughout. The basic plot is about a guy who is just your ultimate screen idol, like a Valentino type, and then sound comes in and he doesn't fare so well, but he is sort of in love with this woman who does fare well when sound does come in. But when I saw it in Toronto last September, people just went crazy for it. I'm actually really surprised it's getting all the acclaim that it is. I mean, it is quite a novelty and it is a lot of fun. I will be a little harsh in saying, is it great cinema? Not necessarily. It's a wonderful homage to silent film. But we are going to be extremely busy just because I think I'm really happy to get the film at the Palm. I was begging for it back in September.
No, really,
as soon as I saw it.
I was glad you got it too.
Yeah, you get it on the distributor on the line, which is the Weinstein Company, and that's back in September, and I say I want this movie.
When I saw the article, the first thing I did was, it's like I almost didn't want to look. And like you put your hands behind your head and you see a monster movie when you're a kid. Oh. I was like, please let this be at the Palm. Please, please. I don't know what. So this is interesting because now you've had two movies and you'll have them simultaneously. Will you not? No, you already had them.
Well, three actually.
Well, three. But here's the thing what I'm saying. We'll talk about all three movies. But you had this movie where paintings come alive.
Oh, yeah, Mill and the Cross this last week. That was a real love-hate. People either just couldn't get into it or people thought it was one of the best things they've ever seen.
But there you go. That was very different. That isn't normal, what you expect at the cinema. And here you're saying the same thing. The reason you can't remember the director's name is because it's unpronounceable. It's got 175 letters. Let me try it. His name is Michael Hazanavicius. Have a Niskavikus.
I think the Golden Globes, he was very complimentary of the people who pronounced the name correctly, and I'm kicking myself here that I shouldn't know his name. But it's interesting that it's a French film.
It's Hazanavicius. I'm pretty sure that's right. Hazanavicius.
Okay.
All right. I'll take that one to the bank, really. All right,
well, people don't care about directors anyway.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, who cares? All right. I thought that ever since. I feel my little 8-year-old and 10-year-old niece and nephew, I will say this just because I want to hear them wail loudly. As I'm going through, their movies, the movies they can see, go, hey, how about Ponyo? Oh, no, don't be on that.
Oh, Ponyo's a good one.
It's good for, it's an adult cartoon.
It's good.
It's an adult cartoon. Kids were like, the heck is that?
Oh,
they didn't understand it at all. I can tell you they did not get it.
There's another Japanese animation film called Totoro, which is charming. It's fabulous. It seems like a Disney film, but it's wonderful. And same filmmaker as Ponyo.
Now, speaking of cashing in, I had to just tape a thing for my nephew. Legos has now entered the cartoon world. So they have a little cartoon Lego character, little characters. The Lego characters are funny looking with the funny heads and the arms.
Oh,
and now they have a cartoon.
Oh,
so that's another way to try to get mom and dad to spend more money on flipping Legos.
One thing that I should say about The Artist: come and see it. You'll have a fabulous time at the movie theater, and I think we're going to be packed over the weekend, or we're going to be packed for the next 4 weeks. I hope it inspires some people to go see some silent movies, because I tend to think there's sort of a mindset about some of the great silent stuff where you go, oh, it's a fractured flicker, or, go check out some Chaplin or some Buster Keaton or Harold Lloyd. I mean, there is some fabulous silent films. I mean, there's, I just mentioned great comedians,
The General is one of my favorites.
Oh, The General, yeah. So go back and visit and check out some of these silent films. They're classics.
Now, don't forget, understand something, you can, because, see, now that Bob doesn't have his video store anymore, you can't go there to get them. So if you go to Turner Classic Movies, Turner Classic Movies, you look ahead, if you have a DVR, you look ahead, Turner Classic Movies has, and you can actually go on the internet, look up Turner Classic Movies, and they'll say what their schedule is going to be for the month. And they usually have three to a half dozen silent films a month.
Yeah, more power to that.
So that's cool. All right, as long as they don't put color in it. So,
colorization, I think, was a flash in the pan.
Boy.
Thankfully. You don't want to see Laurel and Hardy in color, you know.
No, you don't. I didn't really want to see them in black and white, up close and personal. All right, let's talk about other things that are going on. Now, we have there's another new movie, and it's kind of a strange tale that you have going on there, and that's Shame. And this is the guy's name, but don't get confused, of course, is Steve McQueen.
The director is Steve, director McQueen. Steve McQueen. He's a black man from the UK. This is his second film, I believe. He did a film about a year ago called Hunger, which had the same star as Shame, Michael Fassbender. He's also in this new film called The Dangerous Method, where he plays Carl Jung. But getting back to Shame, I'll put it out there, NC-17. This is not for kids, and it's about, we've talked about this, about a guy who is incapable of intimacy, but he is hooked on prostitutes and porn and things like that. It is, I saw it, again, last September in Toronto. It's an amazing, great film. His performance is fabulous. Carey Mulligan also, who is a wonderful fresh face, is in this as
basically,
well.
It's basically Charlie Sheen without the other guy and the kid.
Well, yeah, but this guy doesn't say winning. Yeah. I think he realizes that he has a problem. And this, it's a lot of sex, but it's not erotic. It's a kind of a victim of today's world where we seem to be enveloped by pornography, things like that. And this particular guy who is, I believe the film takes place in Manhattan. I mean, he has a really good job. He's well-to-do, but he has this vacuum. A vacuum emotionally. He just cannot really connect with people. And it is... amazing film.
Much like Newt Gingrich. So here's the thing. But here's the interesting thing. When we first heard of sex addiction, there's not a single one of us didn't go, yeah, right, you know, yeah, we're all like that, you know what I mean? There we go. But that's not true, of course. And so now we're finding out that there is actually a sex addiction,
mm-hmm.
and this inability to emotionally connect with people, and yet there's this constant need for sex but without any connection, and it's and now that we've heard more about it, we know there's support groups and all that. I'm kind of glad that now's the time this movie has come out, because now instead of people going, yeah, right, sex addiction, they can say, you know what, we know that it's true, we know it's real for some people.
Well, I think in this case, you may focus on the sex, or I'm sure that people are going to come in to think they're going to be titillated by what we see in this film. But it's heartbreaking. It's, instead of saying sex addiction, we should almost say, here's a man incapable of love. And that is, that's a shame. Yeah. I mean, that's the shame that's put forth in this film, because if you can't connect with people, and this guy really can't, I mean, what is that? And it's almost, I mean, in this film, sex is almost like a punishment, let's just put it that way. So, and it has been compared to Last Tango in Paris. I mean, there's some people think this is the greatest, I think it's an incredible film, and some people just think it's the worst film on the planet. Again, a love-hate movie. I think that's going to be the reaction to this one. I think people will really find that it's really exploring something that we should explore and talk about more. And others will find that, it's not for everybody, let's just say.
Well, now that I'm longer in the tooth than the last time I saw, what was the one you just mentioned?
Last Tango in Paris.
Last Tango in Paris. It'd be interesting for me to see it again and say, okay, this is how it strikes me now. But because it's interesting, too, and I really begin to realize something. It has to do with maturity, I guess. It has to do with, I don't know what it has to do. But it has to do with the fact that as I get older, I perceive things differently. And I can watch a movie that I saw before and didn't like or understand or whatever and really like it now, or vice versa, and say, why in the world was that appealing?
Well, in Last Tango in Paris, Marlon Brando is dealing with the suicide of his wife. And it's going through that turmoil and his depression, and of course Maria Schneider, who actually just passed away, who played the young woman he's with. I mean, there's some sort of a release or something that he needed, and it's a sexual release. In the film, Brando and Maria Schneider, he doesn't want to know her name. He just wants no intimacy whatsoever, and that's sort of what Shame gets into, and the fact that here he just wants sex without love, and he doesn't want to know her name, he doesn't want to know anything about that, but very slowly but surely he comes out of his depression and does want to know her name, and that's sort of the gist of Last Tango in Paris. The Michael Fassbender character in Shame, he's just pretty much lost. I mean, he he basically doesn't know how to be intimate. He doesn't know how to do it.
Of course, the other thing with Last Tango in Paris that is this, and this was a deal breaker back in the day for sure, and it's becoming less and less so amazingly. I just can't get over some of the movies that don't succeed now with some of the people that are in them. But look at this New Year's movie that, you know, it had every star in the world in it, you know, and it was like, nobody cared.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the fact that Marlon Brando was in it had a lot to do with people that love Brando would probably tend to more like the film.
Well, and he really lets I shouldn't use that term. He exposes himself extremely vulnerable, and he allows himself to be, you know, pathetic and depressed. And also, I mean, there's a scene in Last Tango in Paris which is absolutely amazing where his wife is in a casket, and he begins by talking to her and just yelling at her and screaming at her in pain. And then he starts to cry, and then you realize that he not only kind of hates her, he also loves her. And how that is in one person is pretty remarkable. So
that reminds me a little bit of it. It's a movie I sat there and said, I don't know why I watched this. I have never been so depressed in my life. It was called Is Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, with Nicolas Cage.
I was like, What was I thinking about to even watch this movie?
That's a tough one.
No, that's the same kind of idea.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, just... But here's the fun part about the Palm. The Palm Theater always has movies that can make you think and think and think and think for the longest time. It can have movies that make you go, what was that?
Yep.
You know, did it? And then it has movies you just love. You know, you just go, well, I don't know why this is the most famous movie in the whole wide world, because it was that great. And that's what's neat about the kind of movies that you show, and that's what's neat about the Palm Theater, I think. I think that's, you know, everything else is so formalized, you know, when you go to the big theater, you know, about what you're going to see and what it's going to be like and who's going to be in it and all that kind of stuff. And it's not to say they don't have good movies. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of good movies out, but the Palm Theater leaves you, you know, with a little bit of a question mark going in as what's this going to be like.
Well, not always. I mean, we have The Descendants with George Clooney, as you mentioned before.
Yes, but I'm hoping to see this before you're done with it.
Oh, we'll have it for a few more weeks.
Oh, good.
It's still doing great.
We're thinking we're going to go today, but we can't go because I want to see The Descendants. But I haven't seen The Descendants, so even though we've talked about The Descendants, I want to see it. Mm-hmm. I want to experience The Descendants and see how it feels. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. That's the part of the Palm, I think, that even if I wasn't doing a radio show with you and talking about movies, if I just read a little bit about them, I'd say, boy, I wonder what that's about. You know, I want to go see what that feels like.
Well, you know, one of the bad things is, you know, I've been talking about The Descendants, and I like it quite a lot, but, you know, not everybody. Some people go, well, what was the deal with that movie? Well, you know, no big deal, and they thought George Clooney was always George Clooney. I thought he did a great performance, but, you know, it's... The problem now with some of these awards shows, Golden Globes, Oscars on Tuesday, I think, are the announcements for the nominees. You get all hyped up. You get all worked up. Oh, my gosh, I got to go see this movie. And so your expectations are way up here. And then you kind of go, oh, well, that was just okay. So
that's interesting.
I hope you enjoyed The Descendants.
Well, no,
I liked it a lot.
Well, here's the thing again. So you have here's what adds to that tension is the fact that you have how well The Descendants and the artists did at the Golden Globes, and say, okay, well, if they've already won awards, you know, then there has to be something in your mind going in with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
sure.
Probably what you do.
Your expectations. Expectations are high.
I have to tell you something. There's other actors, and I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head that's not coming, but there's other actors who have been themselves. That's it. In every movie, they're about the same, and yet people loved them to death, you know. And so George Clooney, I agree with you. Whenever I see a George Clooney movie, I go, I'm pretty much George Clooney, I bet. And yet there's something appealing about the man's character. There's something appealing about the man. And if you take away just the plot, you know, and you just hear George Clooney talking or being interviewed or something, you know, he's a kind of guy you like to have a beer with kind of guy, you know.
Yeah. Well, in Descendants, I think he kind of loses his star facade because he's not a very good father. He has mm-hmm. two daughters, and he's not a very good husband. I mean, it's the facade of his stardom, I think, it kind of melts away. I mean, and I used to not think that George Clooney was that great of an actor. I think Up in the Air, which I don't know if you've seen that movie, which is quite good, where his job
I liked Up in the Air a lot.
Yeah, and I thought his character was, you know, what happens in that movie, he gets a swift kick in the teeth, you know, later on, because he is kind of falling in love with the woman that he met. And his vulnerability seems to be more apparent, and you'll see it more in The Descendants. I just think he's becoming better as with each picture. And then, of course, Ides of March, he directed and is in, and that's up for some awards as well.
Cool. Great things going on at the Palm Theater. Air conditioned. It's got the great popcorn, got the great candy, got the great prices, got the great everything right there. And comfortable seats. So that's important. And I'm always glad to have you here, Jim.
Oh, great to be here, Bill.
I appreciate you. And,
always fun.
And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to close out, and then the next thing we're going to hear is, if it plays, is because there's going to be a movie about this crazy cruise ship before it's all over.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so here's the thing. Here's what happened is the cook says that the captain ordered dinner amid the chaos before he fell into a lifeboat.
Oh.
Captain. In Schettino's actions or inaction after this terrible accident here last Friday, new testimony emerging suggesting that the captain had ordered dinner and continued to wait for his dinner even after the collision with the rocks here off Giglio Island. A cook on board has given an interview, Rogelio Barista, a Filipino cook, claiming that rather than leading from the front, the Captain Schettino was continuing to wait for his meal to be served with a female companion. Here's what he said.
The captain insisted on having a meal at around 10:30. He arrived with a woman who I didn't recognize. At that time, I was with a colleague, another cook, Jason Velasco, and we wondered what was going on. At that time, we really felt something was wrong. The stuff in the kitchen was falling off shelves, and we realized how grave the situation was. You would not believe it. I have had 12 years of experience as a cook on a cruise ship. I have even witnessed fires, so I wasn't that scared. But I did wonder, though, what the captain was doing. Why was he still there? Anyway, we gave him his drink. After that, he was also still waiting for the dessert to be served to the woman he was with.
Absolutely extraordinary testimony, Wolf, if it turns out to be true. The ship hit the rock at about 9:41 p.m. and as that cook said, 10:30, the captain was still waiting there for his dessert, rather than being up on the bridge and leading from the front. And that just backs up some of the other testimony that we've heard from the Port Authority and the Coast Guard, suggesting that the captain had got off the ship before all of the passengers, and apparently refused to get back on despite numerous requests from the Coast Guard to do so.
Dan, a word on how much longer the rescue operations will go on?
Well, I think they're winding up now, Wolf. They sadly have not found any more survivors here. There's still almost two dozen missing. They have today had a lot more activity on the salvage side of this operation, which is really yet to begin in earnest, but they're saying by this weekend they're going to have to start pumping that heavy fuel oil off, 2,000 tons of it. They're worried about the weather. And they'll have given this a week now of searching in treacherous conditions inside this ship. Now I think they're going to have to switch gears and switch to the salvage operation.
So that's it. We got Chicken of the Sea, Captain Chicken of the Sea there, behaving badly once again. Hey, there's no end. There's no end to this madness, and I can tell you, no end to it. You're at Bill Banker, talk to Sheep Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. I know what I'm doing next. There's no question in my mind what I'm going to tell you about next, because the first thing out is the thing that you need to eat. Trust me. Spencer's Prime top sirloin steaks for $5.99 a pound. Thick cut, restaurant style. Oh, and a lot of times, even in restaurants, they don't give you a prime piece of meat. This is as good as it gets. I want you to know this. This is as good as it gets. Don't screw it up in the barbecue. You're doing a good job. Use a thermometer if you have to, whatever it is. But you will not believe how great prime meat is if you haven't had much of it. Absolutely fabulous. I haven't had much of it either. That's why I'm saying so great. Linguica and Dewey Sausage. We got a three-day-only sale that starts today. There's 2 pounds for a dollar. Got large sales. Get it right, Bill. $2.99 for linguica or andouille. The silver palate thick and rough oatmeal. It's $1.79 each. And Dole 100% orange juice is $1.99. Country of origin unsure. They got everything. Don't forget the games on Sunday. You got the two games. You got all the stuff in the whole wide world. They got the things, the platters in the deli department. Do some of that stuff. Get some chips and dip. Get some booze. Get some beer. Get some silly pops. Get the whole darn thing at Spencer's. They're the place to go and get what you have to have. They're in San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Aurora, Grande, and in Santa Maria, California.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Wonderful world, wonderful world. We're going to find out who's going to do the Super Bowl after Sunday. So we got rain and stuff and tempestuousness. So drive careful, be careful, watch out, and then have yourself a great weekend. We'll get together on Monday at noon and talk again. So then, may our trails be happy ones and believe everything you hear here. Because
this is Talk is Cheap. The Friends and Neighbors Network. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. We'll be right back.